a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello, welcome along to another Confessions podcast brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio, where we are all sleeping in the studio. It's a rather strange thing, but because of the fact that the studio is air-conditioned and no one's house is, it means that it's much nicer to just stay at work.
So nice.
We've all been sleeping under the desk, which is a little annoying when Ken turns up and wants to start the show and disturbs us all. but apart from that, everything is absolutely fine. And here we go with another fine Confessions podcast, because as I think you've already heard, Sister Susie is in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is stirring somewhat from his gar.
That's true.
Sister Holly is still draped over that tat cupboard and making sure that it's still shut, unless you come up with a very good reason why it should be open. We're also going to be stopping at the parish notice board, where Matt will linger and find the things that are beneficial to him.
Yes.
The not-for-broadcast section, of course, and all the confessions that made it through the filters and got onto the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio 4 till 7, Monday to Friday, including Johnny and the Rockies' Fishy Revenge. Also, apparently it's my fault now. Wifey's keyboard swap prank, Interpol and Deutsche Bank. Tony's confession, there she goes. And we start with Ellie's tale of resentment and trips to the cash and carry on her confession. I'm your burger man, baby.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Ellie. Thank you, Ellie. Simon and the team, this confession has been triggered by receiving a prompt from Facebook suggesting people I might want to be friends with.
Oh.
A girl I went to high school with, let's call her Sharon, appeared in my Facebook suggestions as we had a mutual friend. We went to school together in the 1980s. We lived in a small touristy market town, somewhere everyone knew everyone else and generations of families had grown up there on the same housing estate. However, Sharon and I were not friends.
Oh.
Sharon and I were, in fact, mortal enemies.
Oh, dear.
Since her mum had snubbed my mum in the queue at Asda in 1976.
Wow.
And her little brother had nicked my little brother's bike in 1974. From this, you get the picture of how the town functioned and how petty misdemeanors became long-standing family feuds.
Quite right.
However, Sharon and I had our own ongoing reason for mutual resentment and mistrust. We were both vying for the attention of the same sex god. Let's call him Martin.
Martin.
He was 16, ear-pierced, snow-washed denim jeans, and he could get his older brother to buy cider from the off licence.
Oh, nice. That's
a total teenager girl's dream. He was playing Sharon and I off each other for a while that year, but at the end of term school disco, he had a snog with her, and I was humiliated in defeat. So that summer, I turned 15, and my mum insisted that I got a job for the summer holidays. I had visions of a long summer holiday, mooching with my mates, but had an eye on some pixie boots and a new romantic-style frilly blouse in my mum's Freeman's catalogue. So agreed that a summer
Freeman's
job. Freeman's catalogue. Everybody needed a frilly
blouse.
Wow.
I don't think I ever had one, but anyway. So a summer job was a good idea. My dad told me that his mate's wife, called Carol, was opening up a burger van over the summer, and he'd put a word in for me. He came home from work and said that Carol wanted to meet me at said burger van to talk me through the job. I turned up to find that Carol had also agreed to employ my arch enemy, Sharon.
Oh, no.
And we
glared at
each other, but kept our behaviour civil as we both wanted summer jobs and were relieved to find that we were working opposite shifts and would have very little contact with each other. I started the job the following week, and after a couple of shifts, Carol, the boss, could see I had what it took to flip burgers, keep the place clean, and not give any customers food poisoning, and she started leaving me on my own for a couple of hours every day. It was a small town, and it was a well-known secret that Carol was playing away with a local man and was sneaking off to meet him.
It's all going off in this, isn't it?
But I was told to say she was at the cash and carry if I was asked.
Oh.
I was 15. I wanted popularity. I could definitely not be trusted to be left in charge of a fast food outlet. And soon enough, my group of friends were there to get their free burgers and fries. They would literally wait around the corner for Carol to leave for the cash and carry and be drooling in anticipation of the greasy treats that awaited them, much as she was.
I
became very popular that summer, and my small group of friends expanded rapidly as word of free burgers spread. A couple of weeks later, the boss, Carol, called a staff meeting, and Sharon and I were confronted with the fact that the amount of burgers being fried did not correlate with the takings in the till. She was understandably peeved about this and demanded answers. I squirmed and sweated, and I knew that the game was up and was just about to own up when Sharon, who was also sweating and squirming, said, "Yeah, it was me." Turns out she'd been providing sex god Martin and his mates with free burgers all summer too.
Wow.
I stayed silent. I didn't own up to my own quarter pound of freebies and watched while Sharon was sacked on the spot. She'd nicked my potential boyfriend, and my underdeveloped teenage conscience felt it was payback that she richly deserved. It was soon the end of the school holidays and the tourist season ended, and I started back to school. Martin and Sharon had finished with each other and he started showing some interest in me again.
Oh.
But I regret to say he chunked up a bit and had a nasty bout of teenage acne going on, no doubt related to the copious amounts of burgers that Sharon had wooed him with over the summer. Snow-washed denim was also no longer in vogue, and Levi 501s had arrived, and I was no longer interested in him. Never underestimate the fickleness of teenage girls. If it helps, I can confirm that I am now allergic to tomato ketchup. It gives me a nasty rash, and I feel this is possibly some kind of retrospective karma. I think that's the way karma works.
Yeah.
Am I forgiven? Mm-hmm. Yours in hopefulness. That's Ellie. A splendid tale of family feuds.
Yeah.
And everyone after the same 16-year-old boy. He doesn't sound worth the trouble. Anyway, Suze, what do you say?
Yeah, no, he doesn't sound worth the trouble. And Ellie, I think you're better off without him. But I can imagine being there, and I wholly understand what that is all like. But I have to say, like, if anyone was giving free pints away at the pub, I would be down on them.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Off you go.
Just not, you can't do it. You're running a business, regardless of how old you were. She may have been young, but still, she should have made the people pay for the burgers. And also, you don't want popularity just by people giving you free stuff, because then you don't know if they like you because you give them free stuff. Or they like you for you.
Yeah.
And they should like you for you, Ellie. So I'm not going to forgive.
Okay, it's a seedy little place, wasn't it?
It was. It's all going on
town.
In this town. They're all at it. So I'm going to forgive, and mainly because Carol, I'm sorry, but if your business is losing money, maybe don't be having so much time, you know,
cash and carry.
And also, I feel rather sorry for Martin here. Not his fault that he was eating all the burgers and then suddenly developed acne and chunking up a bit, despite all the extra relish that was clearly going on there.
So, yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Matt, very traditionally pleased with himself.
Yes.
But the thing is, if they don't like you for you, give them a free burger.
Hopefully they like you for you, but if they don't...
Yeah. Give them a burger for
free. Give them
free.
A burger. Yeah.
Wouldn't you do that?
So is that how you say we should make friends?
Yes, I think so.
Well, the thing is, if they don't like you for who you are, give them a free burger.
Yes.
No, then they don't deserve to be your friend.
I think if I need to win them over, I'm going to use the burger.
They might realise how cool I am if I give them a free burger.
There you go.
It never works.
It definitely doesn't.
No. You give them the burger and then they eat the burger and then they walk off. And you're not part of that friendship group.
Feels like this is a metaphor for something else.
Yes. they would be shallow friends.
Yeah.
They would be.
Uh-huh.
That's so true.
Anyway, we got a mixed reaction on the people's verdict, including this one, who completely agreed with our confessee.
But Ellie says, forgiven. Given the opportunity, I would have done exactly the same thing and kept quiet about it and let someone else take the blame. Maybe the owner shouldn't have been spending so much time at the cash and carry.
Get another one of those.
You gotta love the cash and carry.
What is a cash and carry?
It's where you go when you're. It's like a wholesale place. So it's where you, if you've got like a, I don't know. Let's say you've got a burger van you're running. You go to the cash and carry to buy burgers. You don't go to Asda and buy loads of burgers, do you? You go to the cash and carry. You get loads of burgers.
Or a Costco.
Similar to that. Yeah. Yep.
But not the same as cash and carry. That's a different...
By cash and carry, if you didn't want to buy a single packet of crisps, but you wanted to buy a box of 40, you'd go to the cash and carry.
Cash and carry.
Right.
Yeah.
But does the average punter go to a cash and carry?
Well, if they eat a lot of crisps or burgers,
but you can
save some
mostly,
money. There.
It's mostly businesses.
Yeah,
it's most like where we'd go from the pub to get all the crisps and snacks and pork scratchings.
Do they only accept cash?
No. That's just a phrase, cash
okay.
and carry. So you you can pay with...
But they will only take shillings.
Shillings and sixpence.
And halfpennies.
Really?
Yeah, and
wow.
farthings and half crowns.
And guineas.
That box of crisps will cost you a crown.
Yes.
What was a crown? 5 shillings.
Fine, that was 25p.
25p.
Okay.
Wow.
Done, I'll take 5.
I'll have a... Do you have anything for these doubloons that I have, my good man? Anyway, right, let's turn to the parish notice board. At least Matt knows where he is here because it's going to be full of praise for him.
It is, and they're all 5 stars. Emma79 says, more than 5 stars. I've been listening to the Confessions podcast for ages now, and it's easily one of the highlights of my week. The Confessions are always entertaining. The whole team does such a brilliant job of keeping the conversations flowing and making every episode feel like you're sat in the room with friends. The chemistry between everyone is fantastic. This is really good, by the way. The chemistry between everyone is fantastic, and you can tell they genuinely enjoy what they do.
Don't peek too soon.
Special mention has to go to Matt, who's constantly, honestly and constantly the best. His reactions, jokes, and timing make so many moments unforgettable.
If
you're after a podcast that's consistently funny, engaging, and impossible to switch off, this is it.
Wow.
Well done.
Wow.
No spelling mistakes
review.
At all there.
That was
well
very
done.
Good.
Excellent stuff, Emma79. Mm-hmm. JeffMan22 says, great. Fab, thanks, JeffMan. 22, 5 stars. Absolutely love this podcast. Every episode has me laughing out loud. Simon, Matt, Susie, and Holly are brilliant. It's become part of my weekly routine, and I always look forward to new episodes. Keep up the amazing work, because you've built something genuinely special.
Yeah.
Easily one of the best podcasts around.
You're using a kind of a Wimbledon voice.
It was a Wimbledon voice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that worked, didn't it? Because, of course, it is Wimbledon. Well, was Wimbledon. Not on anymore.
Depending on when you're listening
when you
to,
listen
this
to this. Anyway.
Who won Wimbledon then? Who do you think?
Yes, they did. Didn't they do well?
Yes.
Didn't they do well,
yeah,
though?
The doubles.
Big
they
surprise.
Were good.
Yeah, the doubles.
Well done, the men and the women.
Who
yeah,
I say?
Doubles.
That was your man back in the day.
There's another
one,
Matt. On
There's
the
another
next
one
page.
On the yeah. other page. Thanks, everyone.
Page 4.
5 stars, says Sarah. Love Matt.
Is it Sarah or is it Sarah?
It's
I think
Sarah.
It's Sarah.
I'm pretty sure it's Sarah.
I think it's Sarah.
I'm pretty sure.
Either or.
Yeah, either or, Holly. Live and let live. I've recommended, that says Sarah, I've recommended the Confessions podcast to so many friends because it's one of the few shows that never disappoints. Matt is an absolute legend and definitely my favourite. He's the best and always has the best reasons to forgive.
How do you find this stuff? Do you just send them
it's
in yourself?
It's amazing. I really should start sending in some myself.
Yeah.
That would be a great idea. Well,
Susie, what have you selected from the notice board which might bring us a relief from the... diatribe that we've just had. Matt Love.
I've got an email from Taff who says, Dear Simon, Matt, Sister Susie and Sister Holly, custodian of the holy cupboard of Tat.
It's true.
My name is Taff and I have been a very long time listener. Like many of us, I vividly remember my first confession back in around 1990 when we were all young.
Yes.
I was a young airman recently posted back from Germany to RAF St. Custard. It was early and I was on gate guard in my little hut next to the gate, armed to the teeth with a 7.62mm assault rifle.
Wow.
Apparently they didn't give him any bullets though in case he shot someone.
Okay. Not much point.
In there was a little radio where I discovered my first confession and it was the... goat confession.
Obviously, of course it was.
Yes.
Of course it was. Thankfully, no one drove up to see me doubled up in laughter, hanging onto my rifle so not to fall onto the floor. I have been a devout attendee of confessions ever since. I have even have the holy handbook, Simon Mayo's Confessions, one of the rare unsigned editions.
That's true. That's very true. Yes.
So I humbly beg you, as a seasoned veteran, please may I have a confessions drinking vessel. So... a mug, I guess.
Yeah.
Yours faithfully, Taff Jones in Cardiff Bay. And there's a PS. Something I would gladly exchange for a mug, though. Back at RAF St. Custard, Radio 1 was listened to every day in the Flightline crew room. This is a little off topic, but there was what was called back then the Identikit quiz.
There was.
Absolutely no resemblance to the drive time drama whatsoever.
Yeah, quite right.
It was exactly like the same. Okay.
He says there was one involved spies. Agent yes. Oxbury was a spy yes. in it. It went on for ages, and I went on detachment. When I came back, it had been guessed and you'd moved on. Much to my mate's amusement, they would not tell me the answer. It was not Spies Like Us. Please, Father Simon, can you tell me what it was if you can remember? That is, put me out of 35 years of not knowing.
This will be impressive if you can remember this.
Wow.
It was a while back.
I've got absolutely no idea.
You don't remember what the drive time drama was, last month. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So was that Diane Oxbury? Was that
yes.
the spy?
Yeah. Involves spies.
Spies.
Went on forever. I mean, it could be a host of things, couldn't it? I apologise, Taff. I have literally no idea what that could be.
Maybe a mug instead?
Well, that's not up to me, of course.
Yeah, we'll send him a nice mug. Good old Taff, yeah.
Doesn't Taff call sometimes for the drama?
He has. I think I've spoken to him for the drive time drama. Good. He's very jolly, nice guy. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yes, I think because his name's Taff, and I don't really know any other Taffs. It's sort of his name sticks in my mind. Okay. I'm sure there's other people who ring lots too, but it's like. But yeah, let's give him a mug.
So he's getting a mug. Okay, very good. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. If you want to post something on our board, a couple of mentions here. Lightbound, Janine Moore, Neil Ogden, Paul Frame, Lizzie81, who are amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, Hi-Ho Silver Fish. Very strange. You had to be there. Matt will have a new secret code phrase, which you'll think up at the last minute, and you'll hear it at the end of this particular podcast. Now we're going to dive into the confessions marked not for broadcast, the ones that Susie, in her profound and infinite wisdom, decided that they were filth or just too, yucky. Mm-hmm. Then we start with you, Neil. I know everyone says never trust a fart after 40. Is that what they say? Mm. But deciding to ignore that advice halfway through your first ever prostate examination was optimistic, wasn't it?
Wow, this is obviously not getting on. Mm. Oh, my Lord.
But spraying the examination wall.
Spraying? Oh, Neil, my dear, oh, dear.
Your shoes and somehow your own trousers before fainting from embarrassment was never good.
Can you faint from embarrassment?
Apparently so.
It is. It's very sort of Southern Belle.
It's never going to make it past that. That wasn't going to get anywhere close. I mean, it's a very funny story, but that's not going to get on Tea Time Radio.
There's no way we're going to talk about that.
Can you imagine?
There's no way of talking around that, is there?
No, not really.
Can't come up with a euphemism for spraying
the wall
with your own
during a prostate examination.
Yes, Neil got it.
I mean, it's just toe-curlingly embarrassing.
Yes.
Neil, sorry.
No.
Not making it on.
No.
And Kerry. Your boyfriend sounded like a complete wrong'un. Cheating with you, cheating with your best friend is obviously an awful thing to do. But you're...
Go on.
But you're...
go on.
But urinating into his French horn is...
And there's the secret code phrase for... Obviously.
I want to do this confession. You then threw said urine all over him during a row, which is both gross and not suitable for us to read on the radio. But, I mean, I was with you up until...
The French horn, that's like a drinking vessel, isn't it?
No,
it's a musical instrument.
It's a big musical instrument.
Oh, my goodness,
Matt. So how
is
she managing that?
Because the horn is quite large.
Okay.
And so I suppose, you'd have to hold it.
Yeah.
Good image there.
That would ruin the French horn, though.
How is she...
There's a French horn.
Yes, got it. So how would you throw that?
Well, you'd
want it to hit him with the...
You'd sit on the big, wide
No, no, yeah. I understand how the bit. Has been delivered into the French horn. Yeah. I'm just wondering yes. about how you're throwing the French horn and also
I
the
think she threw it more.
Oh, I see, like that. The, like
yeah,
it's a bucket.
Yeah,
yes. Kept hold of the French horn.
It was probably slopping around in oh. the...
I don't think you'd play that again, would you? Because
no.
No.
I don't think you would.
On that. Oh, yeah, you're going to do the thing.
Oh,
the I think I think Kerry, your confession had potential for making it on. Mm. It was just a little bit too.
I mean, he was cheating on her, wasn't he? So yeah. you
does
know.
That mean does that mean you deserve?
I think there's some karma coming back there. If is he's right? cheating on and he's got his French horn, then you know. I think
I suppose the French horn was just sort of sitting there waiting to be. Weeping.
Yes, it was, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. She was always thinking if anything goes wrong here, that French horn's getting used. I'll tell you now.
It's very tempting. Anyway, Kerry, you know, I mean, I'm still very tempted.
It's very good, though.
It's very good, and we like it, but I'm afraid Susie's decided it's not appropriate, and obviously she's correct in all matters.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get back to the confessions that did make the cut, and we join Wifey, whose prank on her husband went very wrong in her AA-rated confession, which I think you have to be 14 or over to take part in, Interpol and Deutsche Bank, FBI and Scotland Yard.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So today's confession, I think it's a 12.
Oh, really? Those are good. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
12 and up.
12 and up?
Oh. I think so. A AA. Let's give it a AA Ooh, certificate bit of from sauce. Back in the day. Today's confession comes from Wifey. That's how she wants to be known.
Okay.
Dear Father Simon, the merciful meritocrats and the pardoning proletariat, please call me Wifey, for those who know and those with very good memories. I hope that Matt, who preemptively condemned my husband Sebastian a decade ago based solely on his name, will remain his present generous self and welcome Susie and Holly's fair and balanced verdict. That is exactly what you would do.
Yes,
he's got 100%. Sebastian. No way.
No way.
You may be wondering how much calamity can ensue from something as bland as a computer keyboard. Well, firstly, I should explain that my husband and I remain quite a playful couple. When baking profiteroles, one may accidentally be filled with chili puree.
Oh, right.
Oh. Hilarious.
Did you think it was going to be something else?
I thought it was going to be something else then. The 12A was kicking in.
No, that's coming. Watering the garden will quickly descend into a full water fight, leaving house and garden drenched. So you see, my husband and I are not afraid to escalate things, and quickly. Since 2020, we both work from home, full-time. I in a modest garden office, while my husband upgraded his playroom into a full computer command center with 5 monitors, one a 49-inch widescreen monstrosity.
Goodness.
I think that's called a Jumbotron,
actually. It is.
Wow.
A 5.1 sound system, a high-def webcam, professional-grade microphone, and 2 keyboards. One keyboard is for play, with small screens in the keys that can be customized to whatever he's doing, while his work keyboard has keys perfectly balanced and tensioned for long hours of writing reports. I mean, at this point, Wifey, I did have to say, how balanced and tensioned does a keyboard have to be?
Yeah.
It's just a keyboard.
Yeah.
Get on with it, man. Anyway, I digress. One evening, I was taking my husband his favourite snack of peanut butter on Marmite toast, which I have to say is 10 out of 10.
Nope.
This particular day came in the middle of a very busy few months that saw him often work late into the evenings. I was missing my dear heart and wanted to provide some levity to brighten his day. He'd stepped out briefly, clearly. However, sitting in front of me, minding its own business, but invitingly nonetheless, was his command center. Before I really thought about what I was doing, I had swapped the little USB dongles of his 2 keyboards. Ha ha! What he types here will come out there.
Oh.
And what he types there will come out here.
Yeah.
I mean, perhaps it's not the jolliest of japes, but the idea amused me, and I hoped that it would amuse my good husband, him indoors. To be clear, this was the work computer of my husband, my very professional husband, my highly respected senior energy consultant husband.
Oh, right.
And internationally respected energy advisor husband.
Wow.
Father Simon, if it makes any difference at all, I obviously didn't know that my husband had been spending time on his downtime watching people play Cluedo online.
Oh, no.
On his Jumbotron.
Wow.
I think that was the name of the movie. Wow. My dearest beloved didn't discover my jape how I intended, but fortunately the team's message that he sent wasn't to the,
consortium
group, so it didn't go global faster than a video of a panda sneezing. However, a colleague who was also working late did receive an apparently highly competitive group Cluedo game and some names of popular online Cluedo players.
Okay.
With interesting and unusual playing styles.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
How far can this be stretched? So, Father Simon, I must beg forgiveness from my husband for the enormous embarrassment my prank caused and any damage to his professional reputation, even though we have plenty of board games at home that he could be playing. And better than Cluedo, not that he's going to get his hands on any of my pieces anytime soon.
I am
most sincerely sorry for upsetting his colleague, who I'm certain had absolutely no interest in what Miss Scarlett and the vicar got up to in the ballroom with the lead piping. Please be lenient. Yours sincerely, Wifey. Okay, well, he's turning a little bit into Janet and John here. But anyway, let's see where we go. Wifey sending in... very good page of A4. What do you say, Suze?
Yeah, Wifey, very, very, very good. I'm annoyed with the husband, not just because he was called Sebastian, but just what is he doing there? Just disgraceful behaviour. But that colleague that got that message, I hope they were... well, I don't know. I hope they took it funny. But who knows? Who knows, indeed? I'm going to... forgive Wifey, but not the husband, because disgraceful behaviour.
I'd say peanut butter and Marmite toast is the greatest thing it's possible to be brought.
I don't like Marmite.
Well, I'm afraid that's your fault.
Not really what I took from that confession.
No, anyway, is it not? Okay, Brother Matthew.
Well, I'm going to forgive because, well, there's a few things. I mean, I think we've ruined Cluedo now. We have absolutely ruined. We can never, ever say lead piping again with a straight face. But also, you know, why wasn't he looking at what was... Well, he was looking. That was part of the problem. But why wasn't he looking at what was coming up on the screen when he was typing? Then he'd have known, oh wait, hang on, these keyboards have been messed around by my very mischievous Wifey, so he should have worked it out maybe a bit thick and also and doing all the other stuff as well, I'm gonna forgive, because you know, I should have seen it coming.
Shitty.
Yeah, well, wish I hadn't used that phrase, but anyway, yes, there you go.
Oh,
saint or sinner, find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Well, the whole week has been...
It's been wall-to-wall smart, hasn't it, really? Yeah. And we can only apologise.
I think the heat is slightly to blame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a domino effect, though. Once you do one Cluedo confession, then just opens the doors for more to come.
There seems to be a lot of Cluedo about.
I'm all for it. So, you know.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm more of a snakes and ladders man.
Oh,
myself.
Really? Right.
Yep.
So he was watching Cluedo, but on his work...
Yeah.
That's
well,
not
no.
Very
it was
good.
His separate. It was his separate.
It was his working from
screen.
Home key. I don't know why anyone needs a massive Jumbotron to be able to get Excel spreadsheets on, or whatever it is that he was looking at. He's obviously not. He was looking at the other stuff.
Should have been just concentrating on work.
Yeah.
I just think he doesn't need all that kit, basically.
Yeah. All the gear, no idea. That
I don't
think.
Exactly. Oh, that's good. I hadn't heard that before. That all the gear, good. No idea.
Yeah, you've never heard that phrase?
No.
Yeah. Stitching time says nine.
I've heard that one. That's fairly standard. Bird in the hand, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
All about that. Anyway, coming up, we're going to join Johnny in the Rockies for some stinky revenge in his confession. Oh, so it's apparently my fault now? But first is Tony's confession. There she goes.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
So today's confession comes from Tony. I think PG, possibly.
Okay.
For scenes of anguish.
Oh.
Anyway, okay, Tony says, Father Simon and the purveyors of penance, I would like to ask for forgiveness, although in the case of Sisters Holly and Susie, I know I've got no chance. So I'm pinning my hopes on Brother Matt.
Good.
Oh, dear. It's never good.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it's inevitable that you yes. will say. My confession is inspired by last week's rugby confession where those two young boys injured their sister whilst practising rugby. Yes.
Oh, that was very good.
And the doll's house, indeed, which got smashed up in the process. My confession goes back about 25 years. When our son Alex was approaching high school age and was showing an interest in rugby. So obviously I felt it was my duty to give him some introductory training in the field near our house. This was a correct and fatherly thing to do.
Okay.
All was going well until the day I decided to demonstrate the line out, jumping for the ball, then setting yourself ready to pass to the scrum half. Alex was to throw the ball in and I would catch it, and we duly roped in my wife, Sian, to be the opposition. The demonstration went well for a while, until my wife decided that while I was jumping for the ball, she would illegally, I might add, elbow me in the ribs.
Oh, what?
Causing me to drop the ball, then pick it up and run off with it.
That's not on.
At that point, I felt an impromptu tackling lesson would be appropriate. Well, it was a perfect tackle, but when she went down, there was just a little scream. Just a small one. In my defence, I helped her up and I walked her back to the house and assumed that a cup of tea, putting her feet up, all would be well. Following morning, she was still moaning and asked me to take her to hospital. So off we went. Although she can be a bit of a hypochondriac, Father Simon. So I thought this was just a waste of Sunday morning, really. So anticipating a long wait in A&E, I dropped her off and then took our son to his nan's so he wouldn't have to hang around. On the way, we stopped for a McHappy breakfast meal.
Oh.
I might have had a cup of tea before dragging myself back to the hospital. When I got there, I was directed to a room where my wife was lying on a bed surrounded by nurses with her foot in plaster.
Oh, dear.
Well,
Father Simon, my blood ran cold, at which point a Hattie Jakes-type nurse, ask your parents, said, "Is that him?" Turns out, my wife had broken four metatarsals in her foot.
Oh.
Ouch.
And that is why the cup of tea and putting her feet up didn't actually make any difference at all. So she wasn't being a hypochondriac. However, I don't seek forgiveness from my wife. Heaven knows I've paid for this over the years, but I do ask forgiveness from the Welsh Rugby Union. My son, which have never been asked for forgiveness I don't think. My son grew up to be about 6'3" and might have had a successful career, but following that fateful day, he lost all interest in playing rugby. I can't think why. Perhaps a mug might provide the final piece of atonement to my wife. Yours more in hope than in anticipation. Well, I mean, I think I'm not quite sure a mug is going to work here, really. Though, interesting way of asking the Welsh Rugby Union for forgiveness. They're not on the panel.
No,
so I'm
not.
Afraid they don't count. Susie and Matt count. Susie, what do you say?
Well, yeah, I'm on the panel. And, you know, Wales have been doing a bit rubbish in the rugby. So, you know, maybe he would have been the person that would have changed it all. And he didn't, because she scared him from actually playing rugby. I don't know what is it with these people who are just, you know, willy-nilly just showing people how to play rugby. Go to a proper thing to do it. Go to a club. Teach them there. I don't think you took it very seriously, Tony. You called your wife a hypochondriac. You went for a McDonald's before you went to see her, and I just don't forgive you. Not very nice behaviour to your wife.
Yeah, I mean, in general, it's not a good idea to rugby tackle your wife.
No.
Under any circumstances, particularly if you're the trained rugby player, Tony, even if she has elbowed you in the ribs. But Brother Matthew...
Well, let's not forget she did elbow him in the ribs, didn't she? If you've got to dole it out, Sean, then you've got to be able to deal with being tackled as well. And there went the metatarsals. That wasn't his fault, surely. Could have been. We don't know. And also, when he dropped her off, he went through the drive-thru, didn't he? He didn't just stop in whichever fast food place it was. So that was good. And and he told her to put her feet up, and that was exactly what he's done with the metatarsals. So in a way, he was doing everything right, apart from the tackle. If we just rule that bit out, everything else Tony did was right. Balance of thingies, I'm going to say definitely forgive.
In general, if your wife is in hospital and waiting for you to come, don't go for a McDonald's.
Yeah. Well, he went through the drive-thru, so it's okay.
It doesn't matter.
That's absolutely fine. I'm just checking now with everyone else. Oh, no, it's all fine.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession, another 12 certificate, I think.
Oh, good.
I think it's the steamy weather, I think, for some people. And it comes from Johnny in the Rockies. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, my name for the purpose of this story shall be Johnny, because that is my name. I emigrated to Canada 20 years ago and still live there very close to the Rocky Mountains. I recently discovered your 5-star Confessions podcast.
Oh, it is 5 stars.
Yeah.
Apparently the number one podcast in the world because of the indomitable Matt.
Yes.
And his forgiving ways.
This is great. Praise for me.
This is really
I'm loving it.
Unusual.
No.
Definitely forgiven, whatever it is.
Maybe he was driven out of the country because he'd lost all his sense. Back in the days of the new millennium, early 2000, I had been an avid listener of Mr. Mayo and his confessions since it had started in 1990. I love the confession slot so much, I even bought the books and watched the TV show.
Good.
So we're hardcore here.
Yeah.
Some of them had become so ingrained into my memory that I still recall them today. Two of my favourites being The Goat and The Mineshaft.
It's always The Goat.
Which we can't do anymore. And The Frozen Shrimp in the Hollow Curtain Rank.
Oh, yeah.
It was a different time. So we go back to 2000, and my best friend, we can call him George, and his wife of 2 years, Lilo Lil, for those who remember the Boswells and Bread.
Yes.
Yep. Anyway, I booked a 3-week holiday to Thailand with another couple. About a week before the departure, George discovered that Lilo Lil and her boss had been playing Cluedo together for a few months.
Oh, here we go again.
There's a lot of it around this week. They decided, though, that rather than lose the holiday, they would still go but stay in different rooms. Yeah. But when George arrived at the airport, he was dismayed to find that Lilo Lil had brought her Cluedo buddy along with
her.
What? He was not happy.
Oh, no.
And nor was I. I spent a few days stewing, thinking what a nasty person she was, and thinking how I could get some revenge for George. My memory went back to the confession that Simon had highlighted some time before on his show, being the frozen shrimp in the Hollow Curtain Rack, rather than the goat in the mine shop, because that could be a very different ending.
Weird.
Yeah, we would be bearing that one.
I called George in Thailand. It was okay, because Lilo Lil was paying his bill, to ask if he knew where her Cluedo-playing chum lived. He didn't know the address, but he had been there once, so he knew how to get there. So first I wrote it all down, and I went to the fishmonger. I bought £5 of the cheapest fish they had. I then went to the fishing shop and bought 3 pints of maggots.
Oh!
Off I drove with the windows open to find the cottage as described by George. Sure enough, there it was, the cottage of the Cluedo chap. I knocked on the door. There was no one in, obviously. So I carefully pushed the £5 of fish through the letterbox, followed by the 3 pints of maggots. Do you remember this one, Simon? He adds, no. Don't bring me into it. Don't bring me into this. Anyway, away I drove in the full and certain knowledge that when they came home in 2 or 3 weeks' time, this adulterous pair, the house would be full of flies and stinking of rancid flesh.
Oh, my goodness.
But here's the thing. I don't really ask forgiveness from cheating Lilo Lil or her adulterous new friend. After all, they did ruin George's life and break his heart.
Yes.
But I may have to ask forgiveness from the homeowners, because I was never sure that it was absolutely the right house.
Oh, right.
Because I couldn't quite recall if he said left or right at the crossroads.
Oh, my goodness.
Am I forgiven? Because after all, I wouldn't have done it if Simon hadn't said it was a jolly wheeze.
Mm.
Yeah, but that was like prawns in the curtain rail, which is not quite the same.
Mm.
I hope this isn't in the unsuitable pile. I do have plenty more. Most, if not all, included George. In hindsight, I do believe we might have taken things a bit too far. Can I have a mug, please?
Outrageous.
So, this is entirely transactional. That's what it is. We're not sending a mug to the Rockies. I don't think so. It gets broken going to Croydon. But anyway, Johnny in the Rockies wants some forgiveness. What do you say, Sister Susan?
Well, I don't think he's getting it from me. Poor George in that whole story. He shouldn't have gone on holiday. He should have just cut his losses and gone home. But Johnny, you didn't even know if it was the right house. I don't like the smell of fish at the best of times. Never mind when it's been there rotting for days. No, thank you. Oh, not forgiven.
Well, Lilo Lil and her boss turning up on holiday That doesn't sound like a very
It sounds bad form, doesn't it?
To bring your
Cluedo playing buddy with you when
your former Cluedo.
Yeah, exactly, you're with your husband. But I'm going to forgive because it does feel like Johnny's sorry. I'm detecting a little bit of remorse. Who knew that you bought maggots in pints? I didn't know that at all. Pint to maggots, no thanks. Maybe he did get the right house. We don't know, do we? Could have been the right house.
Could have been.
And in which case, you would have been fine.
Okay.
Because your man was over there in Thailand doing whatever he's doing and then came back and got his comeuppance then, didn't he? So let's think about that. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
So karma if it was the right house.
Karma if it was up, but if it wasn't the wrong house, well, you know, we've all learned a lesson about maggots. Solomon Pites, who knew?
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
A pint tub of maggots will cost between £3.55 and £3.90.
Okay, that's pretty specific. Wow.
They come in varieties like red, white and mixed. Apparently.
Red, white and mixed.
Why would you want mixed?
I don't know, a bit like buying popcorn at the cinema.
Yes, it does feel like that. So red maggots for certain fish, my guess is, and white maggots for other kinds of fish.
Someone will tell us if you're a keen fisher person, then I'm sure which maggots you use. Very, very important. I don't fancy hooking a maggot.
No.
Particularly.
Mm. Never been my thing. No.
Not for me.
Have you ever gone fishing?
No.
Would you not have the patience to sit there and...
No. I don't know. You've then got to touch the maggots. You've then got to touch a fish if you are
No, that does come with it. That's true. Yeah.
I like the idea. It's peaceful, isn't it? It's kind of peaceful.
Sitting down, looking at like the lake or the river. I like that bit. I just don't like the...
You could just sit down by a lake and not
fish.
Maybe I'll do that.
Read a book.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Please.
I've got a nice canoe, so...
You've got a nice canoe?
Yes.
Of a song now.
I've got a nice canoe.
Another canoe. And is your canoe based at your beach hut?
No, it's not. No.
Wow, okay. So where do you keep your canoe? It's all coming out.
It's one you blow up. With the pump, which we plug into the car.
A blow-up canoe?
Yeah. But it's like really, really sturdy, though. It's not like a kind of like blow-up...
Is that a dinghy?
No, it's like a proper canoe.
Is it a mattress? Is that what it is?
No, it's not.
It's absolutely a real canoe.
It's absolutely a real canoe. I'll show you a picture of it.
Do you blow it up with a thing? Yeah.
With a proper pump which you plug into the car. Like, yeah, the cigarette lighter in the car is a pump. And then you plug it into the thing, and then it blows it up because it's quite big. You wouldn't be able to blow it up with like a hand pump; it would take way too long.
Where do you use your blow-up canoe?
On the river.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just go on the river.
And if there's a puncture, does it kind of zoom off in one?
Yeah, it doesn't have a puncture. Never had a puncture, so it's all good. You see, it's just a very, very solid canoe.
Can we all come out on your canoe one day?
It's only for two people.
Oh, it's only
we'll be a bit of a squeeze, all of us.
That's
going
the only reason
there.
We're not getting in.
Yeah, no, it's actually no, Simon,
because there's only room for two. Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of this week's podcast. And if you've got a tale to tell, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's surprising code phrase.
Yes, stay off my French horn. That would be my code phrase for this week. Stay off my French horn.
If you've made it this far, you can post that code phrase on Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram. All of them. I am at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram, or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky. Matt is on X because he cannot get enough.
Yeah. Can't get enough of the filth.
Remember to leave us a 5-star review, please, and don't forget to share the podcast with a friend in the bath or a canoe on a river.
Yeah.
There will be a crypt special next week as I appear to be off on holiday with some compulsory family time. Until then, from Sister Susie.
Ta-ra.
From Sister Holly.
Hasta la vista, baby.
From Brother Matthew.
Yes, goodbye.
You sound as though you couldn't be bothered.
No, that was me being bothered and saying goodbye.
And thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.